Almighty God, we just pray this morning for Pastor Tom again. Help us to join hearts together with him, Lord. I pray that you will give him your words to speak today. I pray that you will open our hearts and his heart as well, and our minds to the word that you have for him and for us today. We lift up Pastor as he is up there. We pray for his voice to be strong. We pray for clear thinking and clarity in his speech. And we just lift him up to you now, and we thank you for these elders and the leaders of this church as well that are able to be up here and pray for our pastor each Sunday. In Jesus' precious name, we lift him up to you. Amen.
Amen. So if you haven't turned in your Bible yet to Luke chapter 4, please do. This morning I want to preach from Luke chapter 4 in these few verses here. As I was praying and seeking the Lord this week, I felt like the Lord said, just tell them about my son. You know, the last few weeks I've been preaching about the gift of the Holy Spirit and His indwelling in us and the filling that He gives to us and the power that He gives to us. And I said, well, Lord, I've been, you know, preaching on the Holy Spirit. Maybe I should preach that some more. And He said, no, just tell them about my son. And He led me to this passage. And really, as we look at this passage, I was amazed. It's like, oh, I see, Lord, I understand. You see, when we see how Jesus operated, then we're going to understand a little bit better how He calls us to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. So read with me, beginning at verse 14. This is a passage early in the ministry of Jesus when He's starting out, really. And as we read it together, would you stand out of respect for God's Word? Thank you. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised Him. In Nazareth, where He'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, He went into the synagogue, as was His custom. He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy word. You may be seated. You know, it's often good to be reminded of the past. We as individuals and as a group, as a people, indeed as a nation, we often forget the past. Do we not? The saying is true that says that if we do not learn from the mistakes of the past, we are destined to make them again. I think that this country is falling into that issue right now. We have forgotten our past. And so there's a little bit of a rewind here as we look at the ministry of Jesus. Because you see, we've been looking at the end of the Gospels in Acts chapter 1 where Jesus, after giving Himself for the crucifixion, for the passion, and then He's about to ascend, but He tells His disciples, "Wait for the gift that my Father has promised you." And He began to teach them even more about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we're rewinding. We're going back to Jesus at the start of His ministry. And I think it's important for us to see how Jesus ministered. Because you see, when we understand how he ministered, and then when he says the things he does to us, then we're going to understand a little bit better why we have to wait, why we need the Holy Spirit in us in order to live a resurrected life and operate in that new life as well. And so, really, the ministry of Jesus, as he has ministered as the Messiah, he ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we look at this, I hope that we will grasp that we too can be effective in our lives and in our ministry to others if we will follow the pattern of Jesus. You see, God has not called you, God has not saved you and sent you just for yourself. You understand that? He's not just called you and saved you, brought you to himself just for you. Yes, it is for you, but it's not just for you. It's also for the others that are about to come through his work, through you. Did you know that the church is the only organization, if you want to call it that, only institution, only organization on the earth that has been provided for, that has been created for members that have not yet even joined? Right? I mean, most organizations, you have to join first before you get any benefits. But the church, you see, you get benefits even before you, quote, join. Because when you are baptized into Christ, so to speak, you already become a member of Christ's church. And so the church has been made for those who have not yet come. Think about your own life. Remember, there was a time that perhaps you weren't part of this church for various reasons and so on. There was a point perhaps when you weren't walking with Christ. You didn't yet know him. And the time came when the light came on, so to speak, when you began to have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And guess what? The church was waiting for you with open arms. That's the way it ought to be. It's unfortunate if a church is not acting like that, not opening their arms and welcoming and wanting people to come as Christ calls them. You see, Jesus calls us, saves us, yes, for ourselves, but also for others. He is serious when he taught them to pray, taught the disciples to pray. He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven." Jesus, listen to me. Jesus is serious about this. He's serious. He wants our ministry to be as his ministry was. And we can't have his ministry without the Holy Spirit and his power in our lives. And so, the main point of it is this morning, from this passage. Jesus, the Messiah, is the healer of our soul and our body. We must embrace him, and not only embrace him, but then operate as he did. We must embrace him. You and I must come to faith in Christ. We must make that decision. We know back behind it that God is drawing, God is calling. We know that. But you and I, in real time, must make that decision. Have you made that decision yet in your life? Have you come to Christ and made it a commitment of your life? Not just a decision for Jesus. No. An embracing of him and a committing of your whole life to him, that, "Lord, I'm going to follow you as my Lord, my Savior." It must be personal. It must be specific. Have you done that? Secondly, though, not only does he want us to come to him and embrace him, he wants us then to operate as he did. When I say operate, I mean to live it out in our life and live it to others, live it towards others, minister to them, give to them, help them, bless them, encourage them. And of course, we don't have time to go through all of the spiritual gifts, the tools for ministry that he provides for us. We've been doing that gift study in the Sunday school class, which ended a week ago. And it just talked about all the various ways God gifts us through his Holy Spirit to help other people, starting here in the body and then spreading out through the community. Some of you he has gifted to help others in ways that I can't do. Most folks know that if if they invite Pastor Tom to help them move, that I don't usually get a lot of work done. Because I end up, like, talking to people, you know. Who said that? And it's not that I don't want to work, it's just that I just love talking to people. I love understanding where they're at and trying to encourage them and speak into their lives. That's how God's wired me. That's how He's gifted me. And I know there's times you have to get work done, but you know that's kind of secondary, you know? He's also gifted me to eat pizza. You know, that's a spiritual gift. Gift of eating pizza. That's what I was told anyway. So we have to operate as Jesus did. And guess what? When we operate this way, we find ourselves becoming very effective and very fruitful. We find ourselves becoming like Jesus. When people, they looked at Him, they said, "What?" In fact, we didn't read on, but in verse 22, the response is this: all the people spoke well of Him, and they were amazed at this gracious words that came from His lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. I mean, they knew Jesus, right? This is His hometown. They're like, "Oh, wait a minute, now, this is Joseph's boy, and he's claiming this scripture is being fulfilled in him?" They were kind of taken back by this. You see, I remember when I was in junior college, you know, the first couple of years of college, and it was between the first and second year that I felt a call to ministry and began to share that with people, and they were like, "You? You're going to be a minister?" And I was like, scratching my head, saying, yeah, me. That's the way I feel too. Me? You know, and whatever it is that God has gifted you for, whatever it is that He has put into you by His Spirit as a gift, as a talent, as an ability, all of a sudden, that becomes supernaturally charged, supernaturally empowered, and you begin to use that gift. You begin to minister this way towards other people, and guess what? It becomes effective. It's amazing to me over these years that we look at many of our young people that have grown up here, and you know, they're becoming adults, they're becoming young adults, and you see someone like the kids in the youth band, and some of them singing, and their voices, you know, they're like angels singing. You know, you see a Timmy Kofeld who I believe he's called to preach, but he doesn't believe that for me yet. The Lord has to tell him. But, you know, he shares the word, and it's like, "Wow, that's Timmy. Wow, that's awesome. Awesome." By the way, don't say that to Tim. Can you cut that from the... He'd be mad at me. And so we're called to operate in our lives just like Jesus operated. How did He operate? Let's break it down in these few minutes we have together. Number one, Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, and so must we. Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit, and so must we. So, we have been talking about the gift of the Spirit that God gives to us when we come to Christ. It's that gift of the Spirit who comes to indwell us, and He empowers us. But you see here, Jesus, verse 14, returns to Galilee in the what? Oh, y'all not awake this morning. Jesus comes into Galilee, and he's comes in what? The power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not operate out of His own abilities, out of His own strength, even in the sense that He was the God-man, right? He was the Messiah, and God anointed Him for this, but He was fully God and fully man. He didn't operate out of His humanity, His natural gifts. No, He operated out of a spiritual endowment, anointing of power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because He wanted it to be effective. He wanted it to be all that God wanted it to be. Now listen, I hope you can get this point. If Jesus needed to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit, don't you think that you and I need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, I often find myself, and you, I hope that you can relate to this, you know, you get into a situation and someone will start talking to you and you're like, you want to say something, you want to witness or testify for the Lord, you want to say something that's going to really sound really spiritual, right? And you open your mouth and something really stupid comes out. You know, or you say and you're like, oh, what did I just say? That didn't even make sense. You know, that's happened to me. I don't know if it's happened to you. But you know what? If you're being sensitive to the Lord, if you're just submitting yourself to Him, you don't have to sweat it. We all say stupid things. But if you are submitted to the Lord and you're saying, Lord, speak through me today, then whatever I say, the Holy Spirit's going to take it. Because I'm speaking it in the power, in the influence, in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, you have to make sure at the beginning of the day that you say, Lord, fill me this day, right? Fill me this day so that I can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then when those times come, listen, Jesus even said this to his disciples. He said, listen, Matthew 24, even when you stand before judges and kings, he says, don't worry about the words that you're going to say, for when the time comes, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak. Now, do we believe Jesus or not? When we get into those kinds of situations, maybe you're not testifying before the king or the president, or you know, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a classmate, maybe it's a fellow teacher, a fellow workmate. You got to trust the Lord's going to be right there for you. The Holy Spirit's going to speak through you. If Jesus operated out of the Holy Spirit, we must operate out of the Holy Spirit and His power in our lives. What does it mean then, the power of the Holy Spirit? I'll give you a definition. The power of the Holy Spirit, the word is dunamis, and the only reason I share that with you is because it's helpful to understand. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that, that good cold water. The power of the Holy Spirit, dunamis, from which we get the word what? Dynamite. That's exactly right. Dunamis is the basis of the Greek word for the English word we use is dynamite. Dunamis means power. But biblically, it means this. The supernatural strength, power, and ability of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And Dean, did you give me a trick? One here? One of these tricks? Okay, there we go. It's an idiot test and I just failed. The power of the Holy Spirit is the supernatural strength, power, and ability of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Now, you don't need to ask the Lord, Lord, anoint me with the power of the Holy Spirit to brush my teeth. You can pick up your toothbrush and you can brush it. And floss, and you know. It means in those opportunities where you need God's power beyond your own, He's going to be there. He's going to supply for you the strength, the power, the ability that you need, just as He did for Jesus. He supplied for Him the strength, the power, the ability at every turn. Whenever Jesus ministered, and He ministered and was effective, and the people looked at Him and they said, wow, He speaks with authority. And He casts out demons. He has done miracles. Who is this? And see, Jesus did that on purpose, and He very often didn't call attention to Himself. Remember the time, many times He healed somebody, what did He tell them? Don't tell anybody about it. It's a little different than some of our tele-evangelists today, isn't it? You know, somebody gets healed, they pray over somebody, get, you know, woo, the balloons go up and the streamers go and pass the plate. I'll have a little fun here, a little fun. But Jesus didn't want man's attention, for himself. He wanted people to see the works of God. John chapter 8, he says to the Pharisees who are interrogating him and criticizing him, he says, even if you don't believe me because of my claims, he said, believe me because of the works that I do. You know, he says, the works that I do are done in my Father's name. Believe me on account of these works that I do. Of course, they were hard-hearted and they said, well, you know, he drives out demons by the power of Satan. You just can't win with them. You know, if they have a hard heart, you can't win with them. The power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis of God, God wants to give you and me the power to operate and minister to other people. It's what Jesus needed for the tasks before him. Jesus, watch this, Jesus needed the power of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis of God, in order to heal us, in order to set us free, in order to deliver us, and preach the good news to us, ultimately to bring glory to God, and he sets it as an example for us as well. So, every believer, every Christ follower, we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. I truly believe that. It's not just for, you know, great spiritual leaders. Not just for evangelists. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for missionaries. I believe God has the power of the Holy Spirit for you and for me, ordinary people, just like the disciples were ordinary people. And through the Holy Spirit and His power, ordinary people were turned into extraordinary people. They turn from regular folk to supernatural folk. Here's Peter, who has foot and mouth disease. Every time he opens his mouth, he puts his foot in his mouth. You know? He gets so excited on the Mount of Transfiguration, he's like, oh Jesus, I'm going to make 3 shelters. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Where am I going to sleep? He forgot himself. He's always saying something silly and stupid like that, but man, look at him on the day of Pentecost. He is up there preaching. I mean, if we were in the congregation or we were in the bystanders out there, we'd be like, preach it, brother! Preach it! Because he is preaching it. And he is unabashed, and he is unafraid. And he says to the leaders, you, with the help of wicked men, put our Lord to death. Wow! What happened to Peter who denied Jesus 3 times before the servant girl? Now he's empowered with the Holy Spirit. And we saw Acts 1:8 that the gift of the Holy Spirit is poured out and we can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Every believer, every Christ follower can be filled with and operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must. We must. Listen, let me ask you a question. The things that you do, do you want them to be eternal? Do you want them to have an eternal impact? In other words, the things that you do, do you want them to be something that God uses that are going to remain? You know, I'll give you a silly example. Often I'll see people, you know, they're broken down on the side of the road. And I know you have to use discernment and you have to be careful with that. You know, but often I'll see, you know, either ladies, young ladies, you're broken on the side of the road. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if my daughter was broken down on the side of the road, I'd really appreciate if someone would stop and help. You know? Now, I know you have to be careful. I understand that. And so, whenever I stop to help somebody, I just said, Lord, just speak through me. I don't know what I'm going to say. What am I going to say? I was in New Jersey. This is several months back. I was visiting my mom up there, and we pulled up to a stoplight, and there was a transport vehicle that was stopped at the light and obviously in distress. And the people in New Jersey, you got to watch out from those New Jerseyites, man. There's something. Man, they are laying on the horn. The light has turned green. It was red. It's turned green. Everybody's blowing the horn. And this poor gal is driving this transport truck, and the truck is obviously broken down. It's like one of those transport vans. And I just felt so bad. It's like, this poor gal. And everybody's, you know, tearing around her, shaking their fists, blowing her, laying wheels as they go. You know, what do you expect this woman to do? Get out and tow the car herself? You know, so I pulled up behind her, and I just yelled out the window. I said, hold on, I'll push. And I pushed her over to a gas station. I think I might have had your van, Brenda. So it was like, oh, it's just my wife's van. And you know, the license plate plastic box holder thing, you know, it got a little crushed. But I was able to push this van and got her going to good speed, and she was able to get off the road into a gas station that was like catty corner. And, you know, I pulled in to make sure she was okay and everything, and I said, you got, you know, service that you can call? Yeah, of course, it's a business, you know. And I said, you know what, God bless you. You know, I hope you have a better day than you've been having here. I said, you know, God loves you, God bless you. That's all I said. You know, but I wanted to know, it's not just that Tom's a good guy, even though I come from Jersey and I'm a wise guy. But I don't want it to be just, you know, well, Tom, he's a good guy, you know, he'll do this kind of stuff. No, I want it to be that the Lord has done this on purpose through me. You know, there's hundreds of cars that could have been there. And all of a sudden, at that moment, God's like, God had that eternal moment that just happened right there and then. And I was able to, you know, push her off the road instead of blowing my horn like the rest of them, going around her. Be easy to do, be tempting to do. Just, hey, we're all busy, right? Hurry, I'm in a hurry. You know, but God in that moment gave me the grace. And by the power of the Spirit, He allowed this to happen. And you might say, well, that's not really much of an example. But that's what I'm talking about. These are just simple, ordinary things in life through the day. You can help people. You know, it may not be spectacular. Sometimes those things do happen. Sometimes they do. But it's in the ordinary things of life that God, by the power of the Spirit, makes them extraordinary. Number two, Jesus, the Messiah, was anointed to be the healer of our soul and our body. And we see that from what he quotes from Isaiah 61. And he expects us to continue his ministry. He expects us to continue his ministry. We saw it in Acts 1:8, verses 1 through 10, or excuse me, 10, 8 through 10. He said, you are going to be my witnesses. Not only did Jesus ascend and show himself to over 500 people, but, I mean, think about that for a second. 500 people compared to how many billion in the world? I mean, that is minuscule, right? Even showing himself to 500 people over a course of 40 days, that's minuscule. Showing himself alive after the resurrection. And so he says, you guys are going to be my witnesses. You are going to take this message of the resurrection of Christ, and you're going to bring the good news, the hope, and you're going to spread it throughout the world. And in that, it really is miraculous. Now, here's some things that Jesus had said before Acts 1:8. To his disciples, John, Gospel of John, verses 23 through 24. Ryan Allen is going to read that for us.
That day you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete.
Now, Jesus is not talking about asking, you know, for things for myself. I've heard preachers use this as a basis for saying you can ask for a BMW. You can. One preacher preached a sermon. And it was, you know, it was titled, "You can have what you ask for. All you need to do is ask God." You, Brother John, you can have a BMW. Did you know that? You can get rid of your Honda, get you a BMW, because God wants to bless you and prosper you. Amen? But you got to come past the basket first, brother. Okay? You got to sow the seed before the seed is harvested. Yeah, all this kind of crazy stuff. I'm having a little fun here. Making sure you're awake. Y'all awake still? We're heading down to home base here. Yeah. I tell you the truth. My Father's going to give you whatever you ask for in my name. I mean, wait a minute. Did Jesus really just say that? Did Jesus really just say that? Whatever you ask for in my name, the Father is going to give it to you. What are they going to ask for? They're going to ask for people. They're going to ask for healings. They're going to ask for the Lord to do miraculous things. Do you remember what happens when Eutychus, he's sitting in the window as Paul is preaching. And Paul, like many preachers, had taken his watch off, and he set it right there. And the little kid said, "What does that mean?" And mother said, "Absolutely nothing." And Paul was preaching on and on and on, like I'm preaching on and on and on. And all of a sudden, Eutychus, who's sitting in the window, second story, he falls asleep, and he falls out the window. Bam! And guess what? Eutychus is dead. He fell down, probably broke his neck, broke his back, he's dead. That doesn't go very well for healing ministry, does it? Doesn't go very well. So what do? Paul goes down, and he lays hands on Eutychus, this young man, and he prays, "Lord, please heal him. Lord Jesus, please heal him." And the power of the Holy Spirit manifests at that moment, and Eutychus is raised back to life. Now that's what they're going to ask for. Those are the kind of things they're going to ask for. Fruit that's going to remain. People to come into the kingdom. Because you see, only people are eternal. All the stuff that we work for in life, it's all going to burn up. It's all going to burn up. Enjoy it. You can have things, but don't let them have you. Don't let them control you. What are the elements here? Real quick, what are the elements? Jesus, quoting from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, and Bruce Gordon's going to read that for us, and we'll look at the elements real quick. Brother Bruce?
Oh, "In the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance, of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And I guess that's it.
Thank you. Okay, strap in for a second. We're gonna fly through this. What are the elements? A, you are to preach good news to the poor. Jesus came to preach good news to the poor. What does it mean by the poor? It means those who have nothing. And because they have nothing, they're completely dependent on God. They look to God even for their next crust of bread. Jesus came to preach good news to them. The good news of the kingdom, that in the kingdom of God, if you come and you know Christ, in the kingdom of God, all that you need will be provided from you from the King. Preach good news to the poor. Jesus preached good news to those literally poor and spiritually poor. Guess what? We are to preach the good news to those literally poor and spiritually poor. Jesus said at one time, Matthew chapter 6, it is hard for a rich man or woman to get into the kingdom of God. Why? Because they have everything they need. They think they have everything they need. And they don't feel any need, any dependency on God. You remember he said to the rich young ruler in that context, he said, you know, you're close to the kingdom, but you lack one thing. And the rich young ruler said, what is it? And he said, sell everything and give it to the poor and come follow me that you may have true riches. And what happened? The young man went away very sad because he was very wealthy. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus is going to tell everyone else, go sell everything you have and give it all away. No. But guess what? If you have a problem where it has you, he may well indeed tell you to let it go. Get rid of it. He preached good news to the poor, those literally and spiritually poor. We are to preach good news to the poor. Listen, don't despise the poor. We live in a very affluent society, and especially in our particular area, we're very affluent. Even the poorest of us is very affluent compared to two-thirds of the world, you know. But as you encounter people, don't, you know, as Jesus said, or God said, don't look at the externals. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. If you see someone in need, it ought to be a joyous opportunity for you to say, God, you want me to help meet their needs? Well, you know, there's lots of government programs, and you know, they all they have to do is go up there to the social services. Why? Why should they do that? Why shouldn't you and I, in the love and the power of the Lord, ask, how can we meet your need? And I'm so glad that this church does that. We don't tell people, well, sorry, we don't do that here. You got to go up to social services. You know, Uncle Sam will do a better job of this than we will. No, we say, talk to us. Tell us your needs. See how we can meet it together. Because in the love of Jesus, we want to serve you. We want to give. But guess what? Not just physical things, not just food, not just clothing, not just money. We want you to know the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came for sinners like you and me. B, He proclaimed freedom for the prisoners. He proclaimed it and He prayed for deliverance, for those that were in bondage, those that were just, you know, wrapped up with terrible things in life. Whether it was demonic or whether it was a physical ailment, whether it was something that, I believe it was in one of the incidences where a young man had epilepsy. You remember that? And he would fall down and froth at the mouth. And, you know, this is something that bound him. That was that one time. And there's another time, another young man, his mother says he has a demon, and sometimes the demon manifests and it throws him into the fire. It injures him. Jesus, can you do anything about that, Jesus? And Jesus says, can I? Oh, yes. I've come to be the deliverer. I've come to proclaim freedom from the prisoners. And He heals them. I think the church, we, ought to be the ones proclaiming freedom for prisoners. Listen, when you come to Christ, He doesn't fix everything in a moment, but guess what? He sure starts working. There's many people in this congregation, you've come from a real bad background. You've had a lot of baggage, and God slowly but slowly has brought these things into the freedom of Christ. He's begun to deliver you from these things. If we had time, we could probably take all day to talk about the testimonies of how God has freed people from the clutches of alcohol, the clutches of drugs, the clutches of pornography, the clutches of anger. All these things that ensnare people and make them prisoners. And that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that everything's going to disappear all at once, but the Lord has freedom for us. Amen? He has freedom. We overcome. Now, I wish it was always supernaturally instantaneous like Jesus did it. There's one thing that I get frustrated about is I said, Lord, and we talk about this in our elders' meetings sometimes in the past. We've said, you know, Lord, we pray for people and they don't get healed. Why? Lord, we believe in your healing. We believe in the divine provision of healing for the body. I mean, that's the hallmark of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Healing for the body. The provision of healing for the body. And Lord, we anoint people with oil according to your word. And Lord, they're not healed. Why? I don't have an answer for you except that the Lord has a way and a will. And we can never forget that He's the master and we're the servant. In the meantime, we keep praying. Right? In the meantime, we keep praying. We're going to be like Jacob, who said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, Lord. I'm going to hold on here until you bless me, until you give me that which I need. We proclaim and pray for deliverance. Recovery of sight for the blind. He prayed and laid hands on people for healing. And we pray and we anoint people. We lay hands on them. According to James chapter 5, verse 14, it says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call the elders of the church and let them come and the elders pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord and they shall be healed. Listen. This is a provision that we as the people of God, we don't take advantage of it. We don't take advantage of this. It says you are to call the elders of the church. We make, especially after every communion, we make it available to come and be prayed for and be anointed with oil, according to James 5:14, it's right in the bulletin. See it in there. It's there. And it's available every week, but especially on communion week. But we don't take advantage of that. I know people in this congregation, you have been struggling with something, you have been sick, you have been ill, you have been dealing with something for years, and you have never once come up here and asked the elders to pray for you. Why? That's not something I can do for you. That's not something the elders can do for you. You have to take advantage of it. And guess what? Maybe God's waiting for you to do that. Maybe your healing hasn't come. Maybe your deliverance hasn't come because you, I don't want to go up there and be in front of people and be all embarrassed and everything. Get over yourself. He is not interested in your pride and your ego. If you have a need, you ought to be like Esau, say, I am not going to let you go until you bless me, God. I'm going to hold on. You see, and then when you do that, when God begins to work in your life, when God begins to heal you, when God begins to deliver you, now you're going to be much more confident in the power of the Spirit that has worked in your life to begin to say that to others. You know what? I went forward and the elders prayed for me. Guess what? My depression is lessening. Guess what? This physical ailment, malady, it just had me so down, it had me devastated, it had me crippled, it had me just completely incapacitated. Guess what? I am overcoming. I am overcoming. Maybe I'm not yet fully healed, but I am overcoming. And Christ's strength is in me daily because I'm an overcomer in Him. And then He says He releases the oppressed. Time is flying away from us. We pray for, we provide for, we empower those that are oppressed, just as Jesus did. And then lastly, He proclaims the year of the Lord's favor. Now, in Isaiah, the year of the Lord's favor means the time of the Lord's favor. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of favor. You see, we are living in the time of God's favor right now. The grace of the Lord is available to us and to everyone who would call upon the name of the Lord. It's available. I think part of the biggest problem in the country today is that Christians will not proclaim the sufficiency of the grace of the Lord. We won't do it. We hide it. We're ashamed about it. We don't ourselves take advantage of it, so why would we tell others about it? We have to stop that. We have to operate in the power of the Spirit for ourselves, and then, knowing it as an experience, as a reality in our lives, you're going to start sharing it with other people. I know some of you have said to me, Pastor, I shared this with my coworker the other day, and they actually listened to me. Yeah? See, because when you start operating in the power of the Spirit, when you start letting Him set the agenda, set the pattern, set the opportunity, then yes, things begin to happen. Things begin to happen. We proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus proclaimed, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. And we proclaim it too, that this is the day of salvation. This is the day of the Lord's favor for us, for those who would repent, those who would come to Christ. Amen? So you and I have a big task. We have a big task. You and I can't do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus couldn't do it, if Jesus relied on the power of the Holy Spirit, we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who indwells us. The Holy Spirit who comes to save us, who adds us into the body of Christ. And He has for us power. Dunamis. The dunamis of God. Let me close with that same question. Number one, do you have the dunamis of God in your life? Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? If you haven't come to Christ, if you haven't surrendered, you don't have it in your life because the Holy Spirit's not in you. You must come to Christ. But secondly, are you allowing the dunamis of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, to operate in your life? Well, Pastor, I don't know what that means. Well, guess what? Neither do I for you. But the Holy Spirit is in you, and He will lead you and guide you into all truth. That's what Jesus said He will do. See, so you don't need to come up and say, Pastor, can you please write me out a plan for how the Holy Spirit's going to do this? Can't do it. But if you'll get with Him and you'll call out, pour out your heart and say, God, this is what I need in my life, and then here's these people. I just want them so much to see Jesus. I just want them to know the Lord. People in my family, people at work, these people all around, I just want them to know You. If you just cry that out of your heart, God will begin to do miraculous things in your life. Whatever your need is, whatever my need is, He will meet us there. He will. He'll do it, amen? Do you believe it? He'll do it. If He did it for these disciples, ordinary people, He'll do it for you and me. He will do it. But you have to open up, you have to lay hold, you have to reach out. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for the example You set, living and ministering in the power of the Spirit. And Lord, we desperately need it in our lives, in our ministry, in our activities, Lord. We desperately need the power of the Spirit. Lord, I know I fall short of this so often. But Lord, I thank You that You're teaching me, that You're leading me, that I will know more and more the depths, the power of the Spirit in my life. Lord, thank You that You take ordinary people like me to do extraordinary things. So Lord, bring glory to Yourself. Lord, energize and supernaturally touch the people of this congregation. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You, Lord, draw them, open their heart. Even this day, bring them to Yourself, Lord, and fill them with Your Spirit. And then, Lord, again, fill us fresh and new with the Holy Spirit, and His power would be manifest in us. You would accomplish all that You want in us and through us. I pray this over this congregation, and I thank You for what You are going to do. Lord, set us on fire. We cry out to You this day in the name of Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. We're going to close in a moment. And as I said, the altar in a moment is going to be open. Our elders, one of our deaconesses, will be up front here. If you want prayer for any reason, come. Don't hold back. Don't think that it's not important to God. It is. It's important to God. Take advantage of the provision that He has for you, not only for your life, but for others as well. Let's stand as we receive the benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And the people of God said, amen. First time folks, love to meet you out in the lobby. God bless you all.